country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way, honey.
Welcome back to the program on this Friday morning. We've got lots to talk about. I mentioned we have got the federal Minister of Energy, Tim Hodgson, joining us at 9:30. We'll talk about not only the MOU that was signed on the pipeline yesterday between Alberta and Ottawa, but one of his colleagues called it quits as a result. Stephen Guilbeault resigned from Prime Minister Mark Carney's cabinet, citing strong opposition to the federal government's major new energy agreement with Alberta. And there's probably not a lot of people out this part of the world that are saying, that's too bad. Stephen Guilbeault has been, you want to use the word climate zealot? There he is. And so his departure from government, I think, is a very positive thing. This is going to make, he's not quitting completely. He's staying on as an MP, but he is resigning his position from cabinet. So we'll talk with Minister Hodgson about that. Although I know he was asked the question last night by Vashi Kapelos on Power Play, and he did his best to avoid answering the question. So we'll see how far we get this morning. Okay, this is where I want to talk about here for a second. Elk populations in parts of this province have been growing, and actually has been a growing problem for farmers dealing with damaged fields. So in response, the province of Saskatchewan introduced a short-term antlerless elk hunt aimed at reducing herd sizes and minimizing the damage. But this move has actually sparked debate. You'll remember earlier on we had Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation on. They were opposed to this move. We heard a lot of concerns from people who obviously are in favor of hunting, support hunting, but this move by the provincial government was something that was brought up by many as a concern. Well, now we are hearing from people, landowners, for example, and in some cases videos are being posted of how these hunts are being conducted. And for whatever reason, and I don't still completely understand why, there seems to be some sort of a delineation between regular hunting and the ethics that would go along with that, the rules that should be followed with that. And what is going on here? It has been described, especially in the southwest part of our province, the southeast part of our province, as a bit of a wild west. I've seen a couple of texters say it's crazy. They're chasing these elk with trucks. Elks are breaking through fences. They're exhausted. They've been chased in some cases for days on end. And I've connected this morning with one southeast Saskatchewan rancher, landowner. He's a hunter. His name is Chris Boyes. And Chris, I appreciate you having us connect with you here this morning.
Hey, good morning, Evan. How are you?
So I know you're a rancher. I know you're a hunter yourself. And you are also one of a group of people that I've heard from or seen posts on social media with some concerns about what's been going on here in the last week or so with this antlerless elk hunt. Can you just set the stage for what have you seen?
Well, I posted a video the other day, and as of this morning, there's 242,000 views of it, and I had no idea it was going to go that direction. But we were moving a bunch of cows home onto some fall grazing, and I was ahead of the herd, and I see this herd of elk coming across the road. And you see them very seldom around here. So I pull out my phone and take a video and stop, and this truck comes just burning up past them. And so I stop and talk to the guy, and he's like, "We're hunting these guys." Or I said, "Oh, it was pretty neat to see those elk." And he's like, "Yeah, we're hunting them." I'm like, "You're hunting them?" I said, "Where can you hunt around here?" "Oh, we got permission from this guy, and I know that guy." And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure you don't." I said, "Because that's our pasture there." And he just takes off after these elk. And I don't know, it just did not feel right. The stories that were coming in after from, you know, other landowners around, our one landowner in the same area as very good friends of ours and multi-generational farmer. He had guys the day before the elk season opened chasing the elk off his land onto a neighbor's land where they could hunt them the next day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, this isn't hunting. This is killing. Like, there's no sport in it. There's no ethics. There's no morality. It's pretty gross to see.
So I actually heard from a few people about this, and I'm hearing stories of elk being exhausted, running for 12 hours straight as they're being chased in trucks. Jordan had sent me a text about this and a couple of social media videos that people like yourself had posted as well. Now, I understand you actually ran into the Saskatchewan government minister involved in this, Minister of Environment, at Agribition, is that right?
Yeah, I did so, actually. We were walking through the barns, and my wife pointed them out, and I'm like, no way, that can't be. And so we quickly pulled them up on the internet, and sure enough, it was. So I introduced myself, and I said, I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes on this antlers elk season, if you have time. And he says, absolutely, and I just want you to know we'll never do this again. And prior to speaking with him, I was pretty angry at the government's decision. I came away with a different attitude after our conversation. Their viewpoint was, they've talked to numbers of ranchers and farmers across Saskatchewan. As far south as their stakeholders meeting went was Wawota. So they didn't get, you know, zones 31 and 32 where we're at. But they're talking about ranchers having some pretty major issues with these elk. And, you know, issues with elk, you know, bedding with their cattle at night. And I've even seen videos where, you know, you have a quarter section and there's 600 elk on it. And obviously those areas are problem areas. And even in the latest Beef Business magazine, there's real issues and real threats from elk carrying tuberculosis, you know, to different herds. Right. Right now in the Beef Business magazine, this is from November 29th to 24th is when this investigation started. There was one cattle herd in Saskatchewan that was depopulated and 7 herds quarantined. Trace in herds, there was 11 herds identified and 3 released from quarantine, and trace out herds, 119 identified and 72 released from quarantine. And so it's very real numbers, and it's a very real threat that overpopulation of elk have on the cattle business. So I give them credit for that one. Basically, after our conversation, I came out with the opinion that this isn't necessarily the government's fault. It's our fault. Like, it's humanity's fault. If you hunted following the regulations and rules that were put in place, you know, no trespassing laws, not harassing the animals, not block shooting a herd of elk, and you did it with ethics and morality behind you, there wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
It would be like any other hunt. It'd be like whitetail hunting. But yeah, it just seems that people got this in their head, and it was like Jordan said, the Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah. It can I just jump in and quickly and say, absolutely, have you heard whether or not conservation has been involved? Because I've seen a couple of posts online that it looks as if conservation officers have been doing some active enforcement during this antlerless elk hunt.
Yes, they have. Actually, in this case, I called the conservation officers on that truck. Well, there was 2 trucks that were harassing these elk. So they came out that day, and those guys had their elk seized. And according to the Wildlife Federation in our area, that day there was 5 elk seized in zone 32 here. So just put it in perspective, that herd of elk that we seen in that video, I had already been ran 3 to 5 miles from the west, and it ended up about 15 miles from where that video was taken by early afternoon. And that video was shot at 11 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, we're looking at those elk have already ran 20, 25 miles.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a sport. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a concern. Like I say, I appreciate you calling, Chris, to talk about this. You're not the only one. I've heard it from, I had a text from Jordan, actually a couple of texts from Jordan down in that same neck of the woods that you're in, but it's been alive and well on social media. So I appreciate you giving us at least a bit of context. And we never said the minister's name, but it was Travis Kiesig that you talked to at Agribition, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you being willing to chat about this.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Evan. You have a great day.
Pretty honest representation of what he's seeing. Chris Boyes, a rancher, landowner, and he's a hunter himself. And that's what I'm seeing from so many people that have messaged about this. It doesn't matter what part of the province they're in. Many of them are hunters, but they just feel like for some reason, this carve-out that has happened with antlerless elk has driven people to, number one, the number of hunters. I'm hearing people saying they applied for a tag to be able to go out in this last week. they'd get to a piece of land and there'd be 15 hunters on the piece of property. And so, I mean, it's not, number one, it's not safe. Number two, your likelihood of success is not great. I saw a text on the line saying, if you are truly hunting for meat, how good is that meat going to be if these animals have been stressed for days on end, running nonstop? Another great point there as well. I'm going to take a break, but I would welcome your texts if you've got something you've seen on this or opinions you've got with what has happened here in the last week with this elk hunt that has been extended here in the province. And again, the reasoning behind it, and you heard Chris talk about it, there were some legitimate reasons behind it to try and help the damage that is being caused to crops and other ways to the ag sector. But it feels as if the rules have been thrown out the window. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Take it.
Somehow, Danielle Smith and Scott Moe know better than literally generations of politicians from all parties.
There is not one private company that has stepped up to say, if you build it, we'll buy it. If the approvals are in place, we'll build it. Not one. With all of the variables that have yet to be fulfilled, we need to make sure that this project doesn't become an energy vampire.
Premier David Eby from BC is holding no punches on this pipeline thing. He is an adamant, angry opponent to the pipeline. I'm not so sure that there is going to be an easy path forward. That's not even talking about the coastal First Nations that Alberta Premier Daniel Smith is going to have to find a way to sit down and work through. So positive first steps on the pipeline yesterday with the MOU being signed. And I mentioned this before, we do have the minister, federal minister of energy on the program. Tim Hodgson will join us just after the bottom of the hour. So we just started a conversation. Chris Boyce joined me, who is a Saskatchewan rancher. He's a landowner from the southeast part of the province. And this recent week-long elk hunt that was authorized to try and find a way to reduce the size of the herds that are obviously in big numbers in parts of the province and are continuing to cause problems for those in the ag sector, whether it's crop damage, whether it's worry and risk to their cattle herds. That's something that's coming through as well. But the problem that I've been hearing is that it's, for lack of a better terms, it's become a bit of a Wild West situation. Like people on trucks, people on quads chasing these animals for hours at a time, exhausted to the point that they can't run anymore, and then shooting the animals. In some cases, I saw a social media post where animals were shot but then left, just waste. The stories aren't good. And we don't usually get that kind of feedback during a regular hunting season. Something seems different. I've got a number of texts that are coming in. Dave in Humboldt said, what I don't get is why this antlerless season crammed into only 1 week. If you really want to reduce the population, open it up for a month or two. Less pressure, the herds will be reduced safely. I didn't go because of safety concerns. There's a lot of people saying that. Rodney in Foam Lake said, Zone 39, they need to bring back depredation tags for the landowners that are being affected by the elk. But the government never contacted the landowners in this area. There were a few. I mean, you heard my caller, Chris, said he was in a zone that wasn't part of the public consultations as well. Tim in Estevan says, I'm a hunter and say why I would never want to chase an animal that you're going to shoot. The meat will be bad. I was going to hunt elk, but talk to some farmers where the elk are. The farmer's concern was there will be too many hunters. I agreed and never went elk hunting for that reason. There's a lot of people that made that decision or are sharing through their social media platform some of the concerns and in some cases videos that they posted. Now, I want to go back to the original reason for this, and we have heard this from the province, is there was a concern from farmers, from ranchers, that the elk were in such numbers in some areas that they were causing damage, well, at one time to crops. The crops, I'm guessing, are no longer a concern, but further concern for the winter feed stocks and other. Here's a text, for example. It says, the elk hunt is a cull, and we need it in the south. Herds of 70, 80 make it impossible to conserve fall or late season grazing. Issues protecting winter feed stocks, tuberculosis, club root spread, etc. They were mismanaged up till this point. Herds should have never grown this large after being missing from the area for so long. The large herds endangered the sustainability of our ranching communities. So there's support out there for the effort put through by the province. I really feel like this is distilling down to the techniques that are being used. And again, I don't profess to understand why this has been different, but it has been. The here's another text, Carter in Saskatoon. The government sold 8,000 tags for elk this fall. This is all politics with crop insurance. Some herds have 300 elk and some have 30. Now, I've been putting in for a bull elk draw, tag draw for 10 years. Now, when I get drawn, there won't be as near as many elk as there should be. This isn't wildlife management. This is crop insurance crying. They're killing 8,000 elk just when Saskatchewan was becoming a world-class elk hunting province. 1-877-332-8255. Les in Corning says he lives close to Moose Mountain Provincial Park, and the hunters down there is absolutely nuts. It's very disorganized. Brett wants to know why this year's regular season elk hunt was bulls only. You couldn't shoot a cow, and now they come out with this special hunt. Well, again, you know, the province has explained why. Doesn't change the fact some of the techniques have not been good. Rod in Estevan, I'm a hunter, never been drawn for elk. I've been drawn for moose and mule deer, never elk, since the 7 years that I've been in the draw. I bought a special tag, but then chose not to participate this year for ethical reasons and the fact the animals would be stressed, like all of the videos that I've seen. We need to do something different that is better for the animals. That is right there. That text seems to be the consistent thread that we are hearing on the text line. I appreciate all of the texts that are coming in. Aaron, another text from the Oxbow area. It's more than humanity's fault. Open elk season on a herd that has never been hunted on an animal that has a tendency to run is setting up the herd for failure. Also, selling more tags than there is animals in a zone will create chaos. You can't blame the hunters only. There's, of course, some legitimate issues, but it was horrible, and hopefully this won't happen again. Well, according to Chris, in the conversation he had with Minister Travis Kiesig, the minister said to him, and I haven't heard this from the minister, but the minister said to him, we won't be doing this again. So maybe there are some lessons learned from this, but it is too bad to hear that it went this way. Officially ended yesterday, I believe, so hopefully we can settle back down to normal. Again, thank you to everyone who weighed in and for sharing your thoughts on this issue. Okay, we're going to take a break. We have found a way to connect with the Federal Minister of Energy. Tough guy to nail down, but I'm happy Libby was able to do that for us. So coming up just after 9:30, Tim Hodgson, the Canadian Minister of Energy, Natural Resources, will be calling in. We'll talk a bit about the pipeline announcement. I'm also curious to his thoughts of one of his colleagues, Stephen Giebel, announcing his resignation over this deal. That and more coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.